have died. Son of man, his life poured out for all. See his hands, see his scars, his love can't be denied. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me. Our Savior's arms are open wide. Our love so great, the cross suffice. Hey. Every day, all we owe, he bears it as his own. To life, we are free to live in Christ alone. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me. I say his arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross.
Morning, church. Must be nice weather because half of us are not here. I expect more show up as we get started here, but let's sing a song this morning. Speak of trusting you.
Changes what you
through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you,
y'all doing today? Yeah? So, trust in you. That's an easy thing to say, right? Are there other times in our life we don't trust in God? We find those moments where we're like, gosh, I know I'm supposed to trust in you, Lord, but do I really trust in you? We sing these words and we're singing them to God. We're saying, you know, no matter how bad it is, we trust in you, Lord. So this week I was thinking about church. I have a hard time, you know, inviting people to church because I always think I'm trying to sell the church. Like, come to the church. We have the best pastor. We got the best worship team. We got the best this. What does that mean? Best what? What is that? How do you compare best? It's like saying you get the best crab cake.
There is a bad crab cake.
Is there a best crab cake? There should be a law against that, because I think it's like you walk around, there's like a sign everywhere. They always say it's the best crab cake. It's not the
world's
best crab
best.
Cake. It's too much Old Bay. Not enough Old Bay. Not enough lump. Wrong bun. A pickle? I don't know. So, well, there you go. Crab cakes in church. Now you guys are hungry. Now you guys are going to leave and go get crab cakes.
Way to go, Wayne.
So how do you sell church? How do we sell it? What do you think, Jack?
I don't know, but you have crab cakes in your car, right?
I do. I got Krabby Patties.
The world's best ones.
The best in Bikini Bottom.
I think it all comes down to this. I think we lose sight of the fact that we aren't selling anything but just giving people Jesus.
Yep.
And that's the main thing we need to do, right? Sound good? Sound good? There we go.
That's right. We get the best pastor at saying, does it sound good? Y'all ready? All right, so we just want to do a simple thing here. We're going to ask God, just rain it down right now on us, Lord. Y'all be the best worshipers today, right? Storm coming in the distance. Some will run to it, some will resist it. Our eyes will turn to the sky. Desert hearts looking to the heavens, desperate for your holy fountain. Our eyes will turn to the sky. They're overflowing. Our hands are lifted. Jesus and
ever thirsty now. Come, Lord, and rain it down. Come, Lord, we're thirsty now. Come, Lord, and rain it down. Come, Lord, we're thirsty now. Come, Lord, and rain it down.
Sing it out.
Rain down.
Solid rock I stand, all other ground is Christ, I'll stand.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. We praise you, Lord, and thank you that we stand in your power, and that is what matters. And so, God, just sweep through this room, through anybody who sees this service in your time. Just bring that power of Christ that we just sang about. Bring it to our hearts and our lives. And today, God, I just believe somebody who is going to see this or is seeing it now is about ready to give up. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about when you're ready to give up. And so, God, just have people hold on. And we're going to have your spirit minister to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, say hello to someone around you and everybody else. Our children are going to head to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry.
That doesn't like me.
All right. Can you hear me now? I'm like the guy from Verizon. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? All right. Welcome. How y'all doing today?
Good.
All right. Welcome, visitors. If you're visiting with us today, by all means, hopefully you received a card. Fill that out. Get that in the plate. If you're visiting online for the first time, let us know that as well. All right. And we want to check in. We welcome you and are glad that you are here. A couple things. The membership class for today has been rescheduled. If you're interested in membership, you can see the next date is June the 4th. And you can sign up back in the Bell Cafe if you'd like to. Vacation Bible School, you can see that information if you want to help. And we want you to bring guests and everyone else to be there. Serving opportunities, we're going to talk about that in just a second. And I'm going to give you a little bit. But I do want to talk about, as Judy's away now, and she asked me to also give this reminder for the annual baby bottle drive. Got the baby bottles for the pregnancy center. And go ahead and just fill those with change, money, checks, whatever you want to do. I think they are still out there, but you can go ahead and collect those, and then we'll bring them back on June the 11th. We usually try to do it between Mother's Day and Father's Day in that area. So if you want to do that and be part of that. Today, Parish Foundation, how are we? We're good? Awesome. Parish Foundation. And then again, our next time, if you're like, oh, I really want to serve, be part of that, June the 18th. You can be part of that as well if you have some information. Now, this time, last week, you know, many of you have this inside your bulletin. It's about the Haiti mission trip that several are going to take in August. And if you, through the 5th, through the 11th, and so last week we had somebody share, Lisa shared. This week we're going to hear from a young person. Natalie is going to come and share something about her reasons for going on the trip.
Go ahead. Hi, I'm Natalie, and this is my reason for going on the trip. The reason I want to go on this mission trip is because I've been so blessed to be adopted from Russia and can live in this country. But as I've lived here, I've looked around at the other countries and saw the challenges to survive, and I felt like God was saying, this is your chance to help those in need. I also wanted to help because I was born in a poor town in Russia that needed help, and I always wanted to go help places like that. I feel so blessed to be able to go on this trip. It is an honor to go out of this country and serve others in need of our help and support.
All right, so very good. So again, you have the opportunity. Some are called to go, and some are called to give. So if you'd like to give, here's the information. If you're called to go, you still have time to go. You can definitely do that. So all that's in there. So any other information, all you need is right here. This is also online. We're having all our people who are going to go ahead and have a picture and a little statement about that, so you can check that out on the web at havencc.org as well, if you'd like to check out more information about that. A great opportunity to do those things. All right. Our prayer concerns, time that we have them now. And I'm going to ask, I just want a reminder for people. Over the last couple weeks, we've been going around and asking some people who forgot. I ask you to go ahead and make a practice to continue to write those down so that we can have those with our, so we can have those and get those to our prayer list and get them out. Also, if you have a prayer request that you want to go out, by all means, go to our website at havencc.org, and you can add that prayer request at any time, and it goes right to Debbie, and she makes sure those are sent out. We want to lift this up. This Tuesday, Jill will be having her throat surgery. Many of you know Jill has not been up here singing with us for a while, and so she needs to have surgery on Tuesday, so be praying for her. The Hewitts and the Mullins have asked for prayers for Bill Scott, who's having open heart surgery Friday, May 26th, prayers for healing and peace, and also for his wife, Judy. We want to lift her up. Emily has asked for prayers for Ed Kiefer of Miriam's Table. They were with us here, and he is experiencing severe joint pain, so we want to lift him up. Bill Wiggum has asked for prayers for Dave Gordon and a family at the loss of their mother. She passed away last week on Mother's Day. So with that, so we want to lift them up in prayers. Many of you have been around, know Matt and Dave and others here. Robin Hildebrand asked for prayers for Ray's mother, Gloria Daniels, who is in the hospital due to COPD. I also want you to lift up Sally Tigg. Many of you from Rising Sun area know Sally Tigg. Sally kind of passed out and then had hot water and burned herself, so she was in the hospital. So we want to lift, she went there last, that happened yesterday. So we want to lift her in your prayers, okay? All right, any other prayers, just please go ahead and fill them out on the slips, and then or also go ahead and include those on the web so that we can continue this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you today. We thank you for who you are and what you do for us. But more importantly, God, we need to thank you for you being God. There are so many concerns and joys and things that we have, and yet so many times we don't just take time to stop life and to think about you. And so, God, right now that's what we want to do. We want to think about you. We want to worship you. We want to lift up the prayers that we have before you, the prayers for surgeries, the prayers for those who have lost loved ones, those who are experiencing some kind of sickness or infirmity, those who have had an accident and are dealing with the recovery process of that. God, for those who are traveling and we're beginning to get closer and closer to this vacation season. God, we want to go ahead and lift up all those with traveling mercies. For others that may be joining online today from wherever you may be joining in, God, we want to ask for your special Holy Spirit to just touch them as we are one in you at this point. And for our worship and our praise, God, may it be just acceptable to you, and may your Spirit move in a mighty way. We pray for the mission trip. We pray for Paris Foundation. And I pray for every person who's in the sound of my voice that needs to know you. For those who are, for the young people who are coming home from school and finishing up those things. For those who are finishing up school and getting ready to transition to a new point in their life in a couple weeks. God, I just ask that your direction and your guidance be upon them. And for this service and for everything that's in the ministry of this church, God, we just lay ourselves aside and lift you up. Be with us, God, for the many blessings you've given to us. We now take time to give back to you through your tithe and our offerings. The needs are so great. The gifts are so small. But a God is so much greater than anything that we have. And so, God, multiply them and use them and do your thing. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. Today's reading is from Psalm 42, verses 3-5. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
My wife and I got married, and we always had the dream of having children. And 2 years into our marriage, we found out that we had infertility on both sides. So we tried fertility treatments, 5 of them, got pregnant once with a miscarriage, that failed, and then we went to adoption.
I don't want to say that I was as low as I could possibly go, but I was pretty low. And quite honestly, through the involvement of 2 complete strangers, brought both my wife and I to Christ.
Growing up in Southern California, I grew up a church kid, but for me, I think my struggle was something that maybe I brought on myself. I really struggled in high school, probably from early junior high, looking at pornography. It just kind of grabbed a hold of me, and in that feeling of a lack of control, I wanted to, and I think there were times where I definitely gave up.
And within a month, we were placed with a family, had a baby in our arms within a month and a half, and 3 days later, the mom changed her mind, took the baby back from us, and we just wanted to give up.
And how do you thank somebody for that? I don't think you can thank those people. I think you just have to thank God. And having those 2 people bring us to Christ, both my wife and I, my eyes opened up a lot to realize that there are better, much better places to be.
These feelings of guilt, these feelings of shame have just completely taken over me, and I don't think I can save myself. And it was in that moment and in that thought process of I don't think I can save myself where I think God really found his chance to show his true colors when he was saying, "Nathan, you can't save yourself, and that's the point. That's why I'm here. That's why I exist. That's why I sent my son down, because you can't save yourself, and you've tried so hard and worked so hard through different tactics of guilt or whatever to save yourself, but you can't do it."
And what's so exciting now is at that time when we're in such deep hurt, wanting to give it up, we didn't know that within 8 months we'd be the parents of 3 adoptive children. And if we had not gone through that pain, and if we had quit when the pain overwhelmed us, we would not have the kids we have now. So hope rise the second I held my daughter.
With the Lord's help, I know I'm there. I'm sure my wife is there. He may have wrapped his soft, loving arms around her and lifted her up, but I will tell you, he grabbed me by the ear and pulled me painfully from where I was to a much better place.
How many of you are the softly and gently God moving, and how many of you are the yank in the ear ones? How many yanking by the ears? All right, there we go. That's me too. We are, believe it or not, coming very quickly to the close of our Hope Rising series. We started on Easter, and here we are. It's amazing. 7 weeks have gone by fairly quickly, am I right? And so here we are. Next week, we're wrapping it up with Hope Rising, when your only option is prayer. And that's how we're wrapping it all up at the end. And it's what I challenge anybody to do, whether you're online, whether you're part of the groups, whether you're just, you weren't able to be part of a group, but you went ahead and you've been in the messages, to just go ahead and, if you'd like to, go ahead and put some of the Hope Rising stories up there. If you have anything where you've been praying about that God has just lifted up, that's given hope to people, I think it's good that we share. You know, during our prayer time, we have a list of prayers, and often the needs and the desires and the wants, the petitions before God, always outweigh the hope stories, right? So let's have hope rise by sharing those awesome points that God has given us. I want to share with you a brief joke today, okay? You ready? I'm going to tell you it's a joke right away so you can get ready for it. There was a professor, and we know that some of them are, a lot of people are getting to the graduation point, and some have this weekend. There was a professor who had a full freshman class, and they were made up from people from all over the world, all over the entire world. And so he asked the question, he said, what is the opposite of joy? And one gal from China raised her hand and she said, the opposite of joy is sadness. The professor said, you're right, that's awesome, that's a perfect answer. And then he said, okay, answer me this question. What is the opposite of depression? And a guy from France raised his hand and he said, the opposite of depression is elation. So the professor then again said, okay, I got one more question. What is the opposite of woe? And a guy from Texas raised his hand and said, I'd say the opposite of woe is giddy up. Okay? So, giddy up. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to giddy up in this sermon today because we also want to celebrate communion as well. And I think it's a great day to do so when we're going to talk today about when you're about to give up. The verse from Scripture from Psalms. My tears have been my food all day and all night. While people say to me all day long, where's your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festival throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast within me? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. How many of you have ever felt that your tears have been your food? How many of you have ever experienced times in your life where you're wondering, even though the great stuff that you once had with God, but there's points in your life where your soul is just so downcast in you? Deep inside of all of us, there's a soul. And I really believe that in this Hope Rising series, unless you've had your head in the sand, it's perfect for this series, Hope Rising. Because in 2017, if you look around, unless you've just been checking out and locking yourself away in a room, there are some serious problems in our world. And if you don't realize, I believe that I have the sense that something's just broken in our world. For instance, just some recent news stories, because there's something broken when we have a man this week named Richard Rojas who drives his car into Times Square, killing one lady for three blocks, killing one lady and injuring 20 people just in Times Square. And the story goes that he knew he was disturbed and needed some help. And he said the person said that they would get back to him on Monday, and Monday never came for him. So on Thursday, sadly, there's a life lost and 20 people injured. Something broken there? Yeah. Or what about this story about Adrian Jones? If you don't know that name, you should. Adrian Jones was a young boy who was killed by his father and stepmother after abuse, and then his body was dismembered and put in and eaten by pigs so that he wouldn't find him. There's something broken? Yeah, there's something broken. And just 14 hours ago, a University of Maryland student stabbed a Bowie student to death in the chest, and he didn't even know him. But they were waiting for a bus, and he just stabbed and killed him 14 hours ago. Is there something broken in our world that we look around? To me, my soul begins to cry out and say, yes, there's something that's just not right. That something's broken in the human heart where these things happen. It's 2017, and we've never been more technologically advanced. We've never been more knowledgeable than ever. But I also believe we've never been more broken in our souls than ever before. Relationships are increasingly breaking down. Our marriages are limping along. Our families are fragmenting. And I haven't even begun to scratch the surface about the world that we can't get along with each other. And we have stories constantly about North Korea and Syria. And then we can look even closer within our own country about our racial and political hostilities and tensions that we have. There's something not right. And if you're like me, sometimes you just wonder, is there any solution to any of this stuff? Because we have sociologists, news broadcasters, politicians, everybody trying to figure out an explanation for what's going on. And I think I'm coming to the realization, and I've gotten there, that none of them really have a clue. Some days, if you're like me, and you look at this, you just decide, I give up. You just want to throw your hands up and say, I give up. So where is hope rising when you're about to give up? I didn't even begin to scratch the surface of the personal problems that we have in our lives. These are just the national and the world problems that we have. So many of us are wondering, is there any power left in the universe that can redirect a broken soul? Like, for instance, what is it going to take a hate-filled person and transform him or her into a loving person? What is it going to take that greedy person and make them generous? What does it do to take that lustful person and make them respect others? What does it do to take that racist person and make them somebody who sees not people for the color of their skin, but for who they are as a child of God? What does it do to take that violent person and transform them into a gentle, peace-filled, controlled person? We can even, though, make it more personal, can't we? Because deep inside, I think there's a question that we ask. What's it going to take to change a person like me? I think all of us can think of one thing or two things or maybe 100 things that we don't like about ourselves. And some of us are so tired of fighting the battles that go on within our hearts and our minds that some of us many times get to points where we say, I give up. And you just want to give up. And so today, as we're talking about giving up, I'm going to talk to you today from one chapter of Scripture, and you haven't heard it yet. This chapter of Scripture, well, from this one section of Scripture, is going to be from 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to talk about probably one of the greatest, most powerful people in all of Scripture. His name is Elijah. But he's also one of the most broken people that ever existed. And we're going to talk about that today. Elijah has just, at this point in chapter 18, has come off this awesome victory. And Elijah is kind of a cocky dude, too. That's one of the reasons why I really like him. He's got some swagger. He is like the prophet of all prophets. Even at the Jewish people, when they talk about the prophets, they talk about Elijah. He's the big boy. And so Elijah, at this point, is having some fun. He has these prophets of Asherah and Baal, and they have this kind of contest. Let's go ahead and put this sacrifice together. We'll see if your gods do it, and if not, then I'll go ahead and I'll show you who the real God is. So at this point, he's sitting there and he's antagonizing them. He actually at one point says, hey, shout louder, maybe your god's in the bathroom. It's awesome. I love it. He's just really cocky. He's like, hey, maybe they're hard of hearing. You know, he's just picking at them the whole time. And then what ends up happening, long story short, at the end, they cut themselves, they do all this kind of stuff, and nothing happens. Elijah tells them on his sacrifice to fill it up with water so it fills around the trough. Then he prays and says, God, show them that you're the man. And God goes, boom, fire from heaven. And then after he's done, he says, kill all these suckers, right? And they slaughter these 500 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Really nice story to teach in Sunday school like we do all the time, right? So this is what happens. Isn't that interesting? Like when we get to church, we don't talk about these things that much, but in Sunday school, we give them all like the death and dying and all that. It's Old Testament all the time. But so this is what happens. And Elijah has got some major swagger now, right? God has just brought fire from heaven, killed 500 of the enemies of God. You think he's like, let's go, okay? But here's what happens. If you look in your bulletin today, and 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, now Ahab and Jezebel were here, and Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed the prophets to death by the sword. Stop. Let me give you some background history. Ahab was an evil king. He was the 19th consecutive evil king that Israel had, and he did more evil in the eyes of God than the other ones before him, the other 18 ahead of him. He had reached this point in his life, though, and he was kind of like a wimp. He married this foreign lady named Jezebel. Anybody want to name your kid Jezebel? No, because it's come through history as a pretty bad thing. And so he's at this point in his leadership. He's tired. He's just says, you know what, honey? I'm really kind of tired of dealing with this stuff. How about you kind of lead? I'll say I'm the king, but you go ahead and take care of it. So he comes home after Elijah has has had the prophets of Baal killed. He's had this great victory. And he comes and he's like, honey, look, this is what Elijah did. He's bad. And now I look bad. What do I do? And so he said, I don't know what to do. You go ahead and tell me what to do. So here's what it says. Jezebel steps in. And so she sends a messenger to Elijah. Remember, Elijah has just come off this major victory. And she says to Elijah simply this in verse 2. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of theirs. In other words, what she's saying is, there was a movie in the 80s called I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Anybody remember that? Okay, he's saying, I am gonna make you a dead man. And so you figure Elijah says, I took on 500 prophets of Baal. God did things with fire. God is awesome. Let's rock it out. Let's go, Jezebel. I will knock you out, right? You think that might be what happened? No. Look at what the scripture says. It says, Elijah was what? Elijah was what? And he? Elijah was afraid and he ran. Huh? Isn't it interesting? 500 prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he's like, I'm man. He's like, shout louder. He's in the bathroom. One woman who was ticked off says, I'm going to get you, sucker. And he goes, pew, right? He takes off. Now, I've got to give you some background history on Elijah, because this isn't the only thing that God did. This is what Elijah did. There was a drought because of this evil king. And then Elijah, what had happened was the king was being bad. And Elijah says, guess what? I'm going to pray to God. There's going to be no water. And he went, boom, gone. God provided for him. Then we have he was in hiding, in this part in hiding. And he went and he was with this widow and he asked for some food. And all she had was just a little bit for her and her son. And Elijah said, give it to me, give it to me. And then God blessed it and he fed them all and had food. God miraculously provided. The widow's son eventually died. And for the first time in scripture, Elijah takes him upstairs and prays and God raises him from the dead. I talked about the prophets of Baal and Asherah and the sacrifice consumed by fire. There was a point in 2 Kings where captains and men are slain by fire. And then Elijah, during this drought, he prays to God and he said he sees a cloud like about the size of a hand. And he claimed and said, that's going to be rain. And God watered everything. He was fed by ravens in the desert. They brought him meat and food. That's good. Ravens just coming on in and feeding him in a time where he was in hiding. That's some cool stuff, right? One woman, Jezebel. And what does he do? He takes off. He has experienced miraculous provision, miraculous protection from a miraculous and mighty God. Over and over again, God has proved himself, and she says, I'm going to kill you, and he takes off. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you today, starting off, four ways on how to give up. All right? I'm going to give you the plan to give up. I'm also going to respond with how God says not to, but I'm going to give you four ways on how to give up. In 1 Kings 19, 3b and 5a, here's what it says. Elijah takes off running. When Elijah came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So his servant is going with him. He left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might what? Elijah is not in a good place here anymore. That day before or whatever where he was, hey, shout louder, is gone. He just had this great victory, and now he prays that his life would end. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. And then he laid down under the tree and fell asleep. So here are the four easy steps. If you want to be in a place to give up, here's what you need to do. Number one, wear yourself out. Up to this point, from the years previous leading to this point, Elijah had been on this massive spiritual battle. He had been trusting God and praying, seeking God and praying, doing spiritual battle and physical battle and praying. And then he has this battle and prayer and seeking God, and then, boom, he runs. He's exhausted. He runs for his life. Geographically, he really couldn't have run much further than he did. When we look at this, he runs and then leaves his servant in the desert and then takes off even further. Many scholars believe there's two. There's a traditional site for Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, which is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Many people believe there's one site and then there's another one, but they're both about the same distance away from here. Elijah ran, ready for this, about 260 miles. That's really getting out of town, isn't it? He wants to go. And I think if he could swim, he probably would have swam a lot further. But he didn't. So here we go. So 260 miles. And so you may wonder, why am I ready to give up? I believe many people are ready to give up because you've simply worn yourself out. You're worn out. For instance, moms, you're working a full-time job. You're taking care of the house. You may be making sure dinner's on the table. You're carting kids or grandkids all over the place. You're involved in PTA, you're involved in church, and you're involved in all kinds of other stuff. You may be part of an Oprah book club, I don't know. But you are worn out, and you're tired. You may be a student. You may be a student who just came off a killer semester. You took 16 to 18 hours, or you may not have done as well as you thought you should have. You're working a full-time job to try to pay for school. You're building up debt that you don't know whether you'll ever pay out. You're coming off this time, you even scraped up enough to be part of a sorority or a fraternity. Maybe you're part of a sport or some extracurricular thing, or maybe you're doing an internship. And you're coming off this time, you're completely worn out, and you say, why am I ready to give up? Because you're worn out. You've worn yourself out. Some of you, it may not be physical. Some of you, it may be mental exhaustion. You may have this mental exhaustion when somebody says something that you say, oh, well, I've got to be there for them. Or I've got to make sure that that's covered. Or I've got to be strong for everybody who's around me in my life. I've got to be the provider. I've got to help nurture them. I've got all this stuff going around me, but I've got to be there. And so you're about ready to have a mental breakdown because of everything else that's going on. You simply are worn out. That's number one. Number two, you shut people out. That's what Elijah did. Remember that as he was going on his journey, he had somebody with him, his closest friend, his servant. And what did he do? You stay here. I'm going the rest of the way. Why did he do that? Because he says, I think after a while, the servant may have been asking questions. You ever been down in this point and you're just running somewhere and somebody starts to ask you questions along the road? Like, where are we going? Why do you want to go there? What are you doing? And what do you want to do with that person? You want to dump them in the desert somewhere, am I right? You don't want them knowing. And so you're going to say to them, hey, I'm not going to let you in. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going through. You wouldn't understand if I did, so just shut up. I don't want to deal with you anymore. And you just start to put up these walls and close people out. How many are good at doing that? Anybody? I'm really good at it, okay? We wall people up, and we start to push people away. You basically end up like me saying, I'm going to deal with this myself. I can get through it myself. I can do it. And you start to stiff arm people. When people get too close to something, you go, psh. I've had incidences where people have had issues for years and we're at a point of breakthrough and they just flip a switch and go to a completely different area because they don't want to go there. And sadly, you never get to them. So why do you want to give up? Well, because you're wearing yourself out. And the other thing is you're shutting people out as well. The third thing is you do something that Elijah did. You focus on the negative. How many of you are glass half empty people, okay? How many are glass half full? All right, here we go. We're going to find this out. These are people who, like Elijah, focus on the negative. Elijah said this, I have had enough. I'm no better than my ancestors. You know what's really interesting about that statement? Nobody asked him if he was. Not one person. And I've read his ancestors. They were pretty bad, right? They were real bad if you read anything about the Old Testament. But you know what happened here? Nobody was asking him, but he entered into a point that happens when we get worn out and we start to keep people away from us. It's something called self-pity. And we begin to do this. And what does self-pity do? It exaggerates everything. I'm never going to be any good. I'm always going to be stuck in this situation. My life's never going to get any better. I'm never going to get into that school that I wanted to. I'm never going to get that promotion. That darn bowl of ice cream that I ate, now I'm not going to get my butt in these jeans, right? What is wrong with me? How many of you have ever, come on, how many of you have ever ate that thing that you shouldn't have eaten and you're like, darn it, I'm stupid, 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 right? It's just an exaggeration. When we focus on the negative, it's an exaggeration. It's all the bad things and none of the good things. See, I want to give up right here. I want to give up right here. And right here in Scripture, many of you are wearing yourself out. Many of you are shutting others out. Many of you are listening to the negative. And the fourth thing is, if you really, really want to give up, the last thing is, and we're really good at this, forget God. Forget God. And we see this in the life of Elijah. Supernatural protection, birds feeding him, water from a brook during a time of drought, raising the dead, fire from heaven. And now he says, after Jezebel says something, God, you're not going to come through. You see, he was so afraid to die that he forgot who it was who gave him life in the first place. You see, I can look back on the faithfulness of God in my life, where he was there and he provided and he comforted and he strengthened and he brought me through and gave me everything I needed. Maybe not everything I wanted, but provided everything I needed. But there has been those moments in life where I'm ready to give up. How do I get depressed in life? I just gave you the way to do it. Four easy steps. Wear yourself out, shut people out, focus on the negatives, and forget about God. Now, I'm not going to leave you there, because otherwise it'll be a really depressing day, and it looks kind of nice out there, right? Many of you are here today because you need the answer that God wants to give. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to give you the answer that you need to hear from God. God, I believe, wants to speak to somebody directly when they hear this. You know, we look at Scripture, and Elijah, what it came down to, at this point, he had no hope. And God sends an angel to represent him. And notice what the angel says. The angel doesn't give a sermon. The angel says, welcome to church today, Elijah. You're here in the desert. I want to go ahead and share with you. I'm going to sing a song, and I'm going to read, and we're going to pass an offering plate, and then we're going to go ahead. He doesn't do that. I know you're all upset that he didn't do it. He doesn't rebuke him and say, bad, Elijah. Bad, 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 Elijah. Right? There's no shaming that exists here. The angel is not saying, you know, Elijah, if you only had more faith. The angel's not saying, you know, Elijah, you really need to go memorize some more scripture verses. He's not saying, if you just quoted the Bible verses and, you know, quit acting like a baby, Elijah. Baby Elijah, yeah, 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 go back, you're going to kill me, right? He didn't say that. There's nothing negative that the angel says here. So what does the angel say? And here's God's prescription or God's way for you. Number one, the angel says this. Eat and rest. So we're going to say God says it. God says eat and rest. Eat and rest. How many of you like to eat? Yeah. How many like to sleep? There you go. So look at what it says in verse 6. All at once the angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Elijah looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Don't you just love the way God provides? Gave him the best stuff right there. He ate and drank, and then what did he do? Laid down, went to sleep again. You know why? He's tired. He's worn out. You know, one of the interesting things, and I've been very honest about talking to counselors, and I think it's awesome because I think it's a way that people can get stronger than you ever could be by yourself. And in talking with a counselor, I had this counselor say to me at one point, Jack, you can't continue on the pace you're at because here's what's going to happen. You will either burn out or crash, and either one is not a good situation. It makes for a good show, but it's not good for the person who's in the middle of it. When I heard those words, I began to say this. Well, you know, whatever that reality is, it doesn't really matter because I've got a lot to do for God. I've got so much to do. I've got to get it done. And the counselor once again said, Jack, you're not hearing me. Your pace is too much, and you really need to. And I said, well, I understand. I know. And, you know, but I got this to do for God. I've got this responsibility. I've got that thing to do there. And the counselor said, you're not hearing me. Jack, the most spiritual thing that you can do and the best thing that you can do for yourself right now is to rest. None of us like to hear that, do we? Because that's so counterculture to how we are today. Some of you, the most spiritual thing that you can do right now is not to go to another church group or another meeting, not to memorize another Bible verse, but the most spiritual thing that you can do is to rest. Perhaps one of the most disobeyed commandments of God is remember the Sabbath. Sabbath is made for us, not for God. It's made for us to rest. We need to honor God with the Sabbath, but we just shake it off and say, nah, I got some other stuff to do. I know what you're thinking because I do the same thing. You're thinking, but Jack, I've got this to do and I got that to do. And I think God would say to us, guess what? I don't care whether your clothes are dirty because guess what? After you wear them, they're going to be dirty again. It doesn't matter if the house is clean because guess what? Once you clean it, it's going to be dirty again. It doesn't matter if the yard's not mowed. If you really want to tick off your neighbors, let it grow. All right? It doesn't matter if a few things go undone if it's tearing you apart. The most spiritual thing that we can do sometimes is rest. And the angel of the Lord provides food, and then he takes a nap. Look what it says. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, verse 7 and 8, and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So Elijah got up, ate, and drank. Now check this out. Strengthened by the food and certainly by the rest, he traveled for how much? 40 days and 40 nights. That's one heck of a cake of bread, isn't it? That's one power nap that you can go ahead and roll with. This is the same mountain, as I said, that God received, gave the Ten Commandments. So basically what he needed to do was to eat, to rest, and to get to church. Because those were the things that were going to build him up. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, God replaces our lies with his truth. In verse 9 and 10, Elijah went to the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I want to tell you, God didn't be like, oh, my gosh, surprise, Elijah, you're here? I didn't know you were here. Oh, welcome. You know, God knew why he was there. But God wanted him to express the lies he was believing in order that God could correct it with his truth. You with me? A lot of times when we write or when we speak, we get out things that are deep in here. And so that's what God wanted him to do. And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord. True. We're going to play true and false now, okay? I've been very zealous for the Lord. What is that? True. He says, the Israelites have rejected your covenant. True, okay? He says, they have broken down your altars. True. And then he says, and put your prophets to death with by the sword. True. That's true. Then he says, I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. False. False. I am the only one left. It's false. I've been doing all the work. False. I'm the only one who cares. False. I'm the only one who can get things done. False. He owned responsibility for something that actually wasn't his. How many times do we do that when we're about worn out? He had done what God asked him to do, but was taking responsibility for everything else. He thought he was supposed to care and take care of everything, and there's no one who can do that. He said, everybody's depending on me, and I'm letting them down now. If you read this story, God's actually going to say to him something that's really awesome. Well, Elijah, the really truthful thing is that there's 7,000 other Israelites who have not bowed down to Baal. 7,000 others who have not bowed down to Baal and Asherah. There are 7,000 others still seeking me and praying. So don't believe the lies. You ain't the only one. What would God say to us today when we believe the lies? My marriage can never be healed. Why? Why not? With God, all things are possible, right? Replace the lie with the truth. What about my kids? Oh, they're never going to come back to Christ. Why? With faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain in the name of the Lord. That's truth. I got this medical report, and I only have 30 days to live. Is that too hard for God? My life's never going to get any better. I'm never going to have an intimate relationship. I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. I'm stuck in this dead-end job. I have no real ministry to make a difference. My husband's never going to believe in Christ. I'm always going to feel alone. And God takes all those lies and says, oh, yeah, watch me. Here's my truth. The scripture, one of the Bible scriptures that we all need to learn is take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We have way too many thoughts that are disobedient to Christ. So where are you now? You may be depressed and you may be ready to give up. And God might say to you, hey, you may feel like you're the only one, but there's at least 7,000 others. There's many people who love you and there's other people who love me. God's answer for our giving up so far is take rest and replace the lies with his truth. Number three, God speaks in a gentle whisper. God speaks in a gentle whisper. Now keep in mind, Elijah was used to this loud, obnoxious, you know, big Cecil B. DeMille production God, wasn't he? Fire and rain and clouds and dead people rising and birds feeding him. He goes to this mountain, and he's in there, and he hears a whirlwind, and he hears an earthquake, and he hears all this kind of stuff. Look at what it says in verse 11. The Lord said to him, go out and stand by on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that. After the wind, there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake came a fire. Of course, God's going to be in the fire, isn't he? Because that's what he just did. But, nope. And after the fire came a what? Gentle whisper. Hey, Jack. Hey, I'll tell you something. You see, sometimes we want God to give us billboards and flashing lights, and sometimes God just wants to give us one word. Hey, trust me. Sometimes God wants to do that. That sometimes our world and our ears are so clouded and struggle with so much other stuff that we don't take time and we can't even hear him because of the situation that we're in. The last thing that we've got for today is then God, after all this stuff, God gives us something to do. In verse 15 and 16, he says, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehol, to succeed you as prophet. In other words, he says, go back and do what prophets do. Go back and do what a prophet's doing. Running down here wasn't anything that a prophet's going to do. Go back and do what the prophets do. And so what I believe, if you're in this position that God's telling you something today, that there's something for you to do. How many of you still have breath? Check the person next to you. All right? If they still have breath, get a mirror out and check. All right? If they have that, there is something for you to do. You may feel down. You may feel blue. You may feel hopeless. You may feel afraid. You may feel unsure. You may have lost confidence. You may be ready to give up. But if you are still alive, there is something for you to do. God has something for you to do. And go back to what God has called you to do and watch him bring life once again to that area. And you may say, well, Jack, I'm not a prophet. If you're a mom, go back to doing what moms do. If you're a business person, go back to doing what business people do. If you're a person of prayer, go back to praying like you've never prayed before. If you have the gift, if you're a person who gives, go back to and have serving, go back to giving and serving. Of yourself. If you have, if you're a prophet, go back to doing what prophets do. That's what God's calling us to do. And I want to tell you something in wrapping this up today. If you're ready to give up, listen to me. Jesus never gave up on anybody. A man named Zacchaeus, who was not loved by anybody around because he was a chief tax collector, Jesus said, come on down, I'm going to your house today. Shocked the world around him, but it changed Zacchaeus' life. To a woman who was a Samaritan woman who was married and divorced 5 times. She was currently hooking up with somebody else. Her life was so sexually entangled and messed up. But Jesus was not repulsed by her. He was not nauseated. He was not disgusted by her. He offered her living water and changed her soul and the whole entire community around her. There was a man named Nicodemus who was part of the wrong group. And he came to Jesus at night. And Jesus didn't attack him. But Jesus just shared with him that he needed to start again. You see, Jesus always offered hope rising to those who were ready to give up. And he has that same feeling here today. I find so much comfort in seeing a man named Elijah who was on top of the world and then 1 second on the bottom. Because I can tell you, at times in my life when I've had what I felt was the greatest message and everything, I have gone home and felt at times I'm not doing a thing and I might as well just go run 260 miles and go under a broom tree and just die. It happens in life. Sometimes you pour yourself out in somebody's life in helping them in counseling or whatever else and you find out that it doesn't work. And you say, what am I doing, God? What am I doing? Am I just playing church here? Am I just doing something here? Sometimes you're so lost because of everything else. There's other things. You're so worn out. You're so set by yourself that you just want everything to disappear and just go. Sometimes you're tired of the world around you so much. When you try to be good and you try to reach out to people in love, and what do? They just slap you and stab you in the back and you say, I can't take it anymore. It would be better if I just died. Some of you may have been there and some of you may be there right now. But God never gave up on you. And if you still have breath here today, he's got something for you to do. And he wants you to see hope rising in your life. God is saying to you, rest. Eat. He wants you to speak. He wants you to go ahead and take those lies and hear his truth. He loves you. And so what we're going to do, and just wrapping up today, I'm going to ask those who are serving to come forward. We are going to celebrate communion. And we're reminded on the night in which, when the Israelites and the people of the time thought there was absolutely no hope, God allowed hope to rise in a place called Bethlehem when his son was born. And then about 30-some years later, Jesus and his friends, his disciples, met at a Seder meal, and he grabbed the bread and he gave thanks to God and said, blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that gives us grain from the field that we may have bread to eat. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after the supper was over, he took the cup. Once again, he gave thanks to God and he said, blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler, sovereign of the universe, that has fruit of the vine that may give us drink. And he began to pass it around to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, Jesus, the Seder meal was a reference to the fact that when the people in Israel, the Israelites in Egypt, had no hope, God provided a way. God caused hope to rise through the desert and brought them to the promised land. Today, when we look at this, we recognize that this world had no hope, but it was Jesus who came and gave his life and suffered and died, and hope rises through him in your life here today. So Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world, the body of Christ, redeemed and set apart by his precious blood. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with each other and one with Christ and ministry to all the world until we feast at his heavenly banquet table. By your Holy Spirit, God, may we be your feet and your hands in this world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, communion is open for people who want to do a couple things. You want to earnestly repent of your sin. There's stuff in our lives that we don't like. Remember those things we were talking about early on? And you say, God, I need to deal with that. You want to live at peace with one another. How many have anybody who in your life that you may not have a good relationship with? Maybe you just want to live at peace with them. Say, God, I've done it all. I've done everything I can. I just need you to. Some of you may be not at peace in yourself, and you're about ready to give up. And he says, no, no, no. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And some of you may just need to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ for the first time in your life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. The body of 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 Christ broken and given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ. Let me get Wayne first. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of our Lord shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The Lord's blood shed for you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. The Lord's blood shed for you. Let me grab. So what we're going to ask is that if you want to just come now, we're going to ask that people from this side just come from the back and down this way. You can come from the back this way. Here there'll be people to serve. And then from there, bound that way and come around. Also, there is gluten-free here if you need that as well. We want to make sure we keep that in there. But this is the body of Christ. Come and participate as that united body of Christ right now, the table of the Lord. Please stand.
From wherever you've been, come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burden. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary and rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, as you are, come as you are, fall in his arms, come as you are.
There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come.
Surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Remember, Elijah's biggest fear was that he was going to die, right? And if you look at the very last verse in your scripture, God gave him a friend. His name was Elisha. We talked about him several months back. Gave him a friend that could do prophet stuff with him. And you know what's really cool? The thing that Elijah feared the most, it never happened, because God sent a chariot of fire and whisked him away. Isn't that awesome? I'm not saying your life's going to be perfect, but what I am saying is when we're no longer a slave to fear and we recognize we're a child of God, those things that we fear the most may not even happen because of the mighty God that we serve. Isn't that awesome? So have an awesome week in Jesus, as next week we're going to wrap this up when our only option left is prayer. And that's where Elijah was in the desert, wasn't he? And it changed his outlook and it changed the perspective of all history. Have a great week in Jesus. We love y'all, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.